It has been said time and time again that God's ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And when it comes to the story of the birth of our Savior, personally, I wouldn't have written it that way. I would have written it a little bit differently than God had Luke write it down. Because when you're talking about the birth of the Christ child, the promised Messiah, the one who God said all the way back in Genesis 3:15, I'm going to send the one to crush the head of the serpent. I would have taken that moment, that defining moment in history, and I would have had the birth of Jesus coincide with a volcanic eruption or a great earthquake or an eclipse or something that just pointed out, look who's here. And I'd have had that all happen with Mary and Joseph at the center point so that all the world was focused right there and none of the world would miss it. That's how I would have written it. God didn't ask how I would write it, though. Because the birth of the Christ child goes almost completely unnoticed. The Bible only tells us that at that moment there was Mary and there was Joseph. And then there was Jesus. And they were in a manger, which we normally think of as the place for animals, but not great adoring throngs of worshipers. Instead, God waits until later on in Christmas Day, and he sends an angel. He doesn't send an angel to the governor of Jerusalem. He doesn't send his angel to the rabbis. He sends the angel to a bunch of shepherds out in the field at night. So here's the thing you have to understand about shepherds. Shepherds are with animals all day long, so they are not the most hygienic folk. But they're also not highly educated either. Their job is to take care of sheep. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that they're dumb, but I'm just simply saying in the hierarchy of the community, these are not people sitting at the top. If you were walking down the street and you saw a shepherd and he came over to you and talked to you, you would not take everything that he said to be the gospel's truth. It's not like if a rabbi came up to you and started talking, you would automatically recognize the stature that that man had, and you would take everything he said accordingly. God doesn't go to the guy at the top, though. He goes to the little guys in the field that would otherwise be ignored. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He didn't ask me how he was going to do it. He did it. But he goes to these shepherds in the field. Now, if any of you have ever taken a communications course, usually one of the first things that they teach you as you are trying to draw in your audience is the importance of an attention-getting device. In fact, we were watching a movie the other day with the girls, and it's the sort of thing that they started doing. They'll start the movie off with this action-packed, adrenaline-rushing kind of action scene, and then they'll stop it suddenly and put up a little blurb that says, like, 24 hours earlier. Now they got you hooked. Now they're going to bring you back to the storyline. Attention getters are always a great way of getting people bought in to your story. Pay attention to what's about to come. God's got the perfect attention-getting device. Doesn't do it often in Scripture, thank goodness, because if he did, the most common phrase we'd find in Scripture is, don't be afraid. But he sends this angel who appears out of nowhere looking like something we can't imagine. All we know about the sudden appearance of angels in Scriptures is exactly the response that they elicit almost every single time that they appear. And that is the first thing they have to say after appearing is, fear not. Because everybody that sees them is immediately stricken with terror. They drop to their knees, fearing for their lives because this majestic, undefinable, never-before-seen, clearly intimidating creature suddenly appears. God's got the attention of the shepherds. And then he says to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Let me tell you what that message says. I'm going to repeat most of it again, but I want you to understand this. I, this majestic angel from heaven above, who is just scaring you to death right now, I have a message for you. And it's a message of good news. It's a message of great joy. Because for to you, shepherds, a child is born. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born for you and for all mankind. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Go and find him. It's going to be easy to find because he's going to be the only baby lying wrapped in cloths in a manger. It's not where we normally keep them. But that's just to prove that I'm not telling you a lie. This is God's word for you. God's good news. And so, then, just to make sure they remember what he has just said, a whole company of heavenly hosts appears. He had the angel for the first part, but now the heavens open up. And they're blaring out of him. And my goodness, they're saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. This is not a moment they're ever going to forget. An angel has appeared. He has spoken to them directly. And then he had the heavenly choir come on in and finish it off with a little praise hymn. I wonder if they considered that contemporary praise music at the time. It probably wasn't in the green hymnal, Kathy. Anyway, we know what the shepherds do. Having experienced that, the verse reads this. The shepherds then said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So here's another thing about the Bible. One, not only did God not ask me how to write it, but two, when he spoke through the Holy Spirit, through those who wrote down the words of the Bible, what they wrote is inerrant, it is true, it is inspired by God. But that doesn't mean that you get every detail of what happened. Not every word that was said amongst the shepherds is captured here. Not every second of their interaction with the angels or with each other is captured here. So that when we see this passage that simply says, they said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told you about. That's not the whole story. And I promise you it's not. Because these guys had just had an experience with the angel and with the heavenly hosts. The conversation probably went more along the lines of, whoa! Did you see that? Did they just tell us? Did they just promise us good news? Bob, you can get up now. Bob. Somebody help Bob. He fainted. We got to go. We got to go see this kid. They proclaimed it. We've got to go see the fulfillment. Let's go, guys. Their lives were so transformed in that brief interaction that if the angels had told them, run to the Dead Sea, swim up the Jordan, up the headwaters, they'd have done it. There wasn't anything they weren't going to do. Scripture also doesn't tell us then if they left their flocks or brought them with them. On the one hand, they're shepherds. And it's hard to imagine the shepherds leaving their flocks unless, as Jesus says, they're going to look for the one that's lost. On the other hand, it's kind of funny to imagine that they may have all run down to Bethlehem with all these sheep following after them, plowing through the streets looking for this manger scene for the baby. It's kind of an amusing picture. I kind of like it. Scripture doesn't tell us. So we fill in that blank. But what we know is they go. The angels told them, go and look. And they go. And they find baby Jesus, just as the angel had told them, lying there in the manger with Mary and Joseph. What the angel said was go and see. That was all the angel said. But look at what happened. They hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. Angels didn't say go and share the news. The angels just said go and look. But they couldn't help themselves. Their lives had been transformed. The angel had made it clear to them that this gift was not just for them, but was for all. And they went and they saw, and so transformed by this entire experience, they couldn't help but go. They had seen the truth of the good news, and they knew that others had to hear it as well. And so they go out. And again, these aren't people that would readily be believed of something of this significance. But there is always something in the face of somebody when they've got something really important to tell you that they're really excited about. This isn't the evangelist on the street corner saying, let me tell you about Jesus. This is a group of guys who just had a face-to-face encounter with heavenly beings who spoke God's truth to them and then gave them the opportunity to take in the proof, and they saw it. These are guys who are never going to be the same again. Moses came down from the Mount of Sinai after his encounter with God, and because of his proximity to God, his face was radiant. These guys probably didn't have quite that same glow to them, but I promise you, they were changed, and they were glowing because they had had this encounter with God. The good news had never been more alive in them than it was now, and they went out, and they proclaimed it. And all who heard were amazed. But look what they did then. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They experienced the good news face to face. They went and shared the good news. And then they came back and they worshiped. Understand that those things should be natural to the life of one who has received the good news and allowed it to transform their lives. There should be a compulsion, being filled with the love of God and a love for our neighbor, to go out and share with them that beautiful, glorious good news. But there should also, at the very same time, be this desire to worship, to praise Him, to glorify Him, to gather with God's people, but to also do it on your own. Worship is a natural outflow of a resurrected heart, as is a desire to share. That Christmas night, God transformed the world. He took the most unlikely characters and had them be those beautiful feet upon whom the good news was carried. And He set forth a model for us as well. With your lives transformed, worship God and share that message. That is how we share the gift of Jesus Christ. And wouldn't you know it, it's Christmas Day. So share the gifts that you have given to each other, but share the gift of the gospel with those who've never heard it. But do it with joy in your face too. And let them know that we're not sourpuss Christians, but we are people filled with an unspeakable joy of knowing that the glories of heaven await. That's our Christmas message for today. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray.